Okay, we're picking up now in section 37 of our Revelation Bible study detailed outline, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. The prelude to the bowl judgments. Now, there are three series of judgments in the book of Revelation, and we've already covered the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments. The seal judgments and the trumpet judgments take place in the first half of the book of Revelation. The bowl judgments take place in the second half of the seven-year tribulation period. That is after the three-and-a-half-year period has expired. So we've covered to this point in the book of Revelation the things which John had seen in chapter 1, the things which are in chapters 2 and 3, that is the state of the church, and finally, the things which shall come to pass, which covers chapters 4 through 22, deals with the scene in heaven in chapters 4 and 5, and then all things yet in the future, specifically the seven-year tribulation period. And we've already covered the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. We've looked at the midpoint of the tribulation, and we've studied some of the interpolative content there between chapters 12 and 14. And now we are prepared to enter into the great tribulation, which is the second half of the tribulation. So Revelation chapter 15 and verse 1 reads, "And then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete." So here is another sign in heaven. That is, succeeding the sign of the woman representative of Israel, and the sign of the dragon, representative of Satan, which are both recorded in Revelation chapter 12. Seven angels. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. So these seven angels having the seven last plagues have the bowl judgments. And jumping ahead to Revelation chapter 16 and verse 1, we have this right in the scriptures. Remember, the book of Revelation very often interprets itself, and where Revelation does not interpret itself, it can be interpreted or understood based upon other places in scripture in the vast majority of cases. "And then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth.'" With these last plagues, it is written, the wrath of God is complete. And as we noted, this is the third in the series of three sets of seven judgments. We've already done the seal judgments, we've already done the trumpet judgments, and now the bowl judgments are at hand. The wrath of God is God's last-ditch effort to get the attention of men that they may repent. And we've got some cross-references that go with this. Ezekiel chapter 33 in verse 11. Ezekiel chapter 33 in verse 11 gives us some good insight into the heart of God. "Say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel?'" The next reference we have is from the minor prophet book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2, and that's that little book right before Zephaniah, after Nahum. Habakkuk chapter 3. In verse 2, which reads, "O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known." And here's the key. "In wrath, remember mercy." And whenever God's wrath is displayed, his mercy is also evident, either just prior or corollary, or following, or all 3. The wrath of God is exercised as sort of the other side of the coin of God's mercy. And James says, mercy triumphs over judgment. So all of these judgments are for the purpose of getting more sinners to repent and turn back to God in that evil day. And again, another insight into the heart of God in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 9. And this is a good memory verse for you Bible memory folks. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness. So the Lord's not a slacker. The Lord is not going to fail to perform all of those things that He's promised, but His long-suffering toward us. So many times we say, Lord, how long? And sometimes the Lord is simply tarrying to see. I mean, God knows all things, but I'm talking from the human perspective in time, in order to see and to demonstrate His mercy insofar as His hope is that all men will come to repentance and that the situation will be worked out that way, and then He'll be able to exercise mercy in the end and not wrath. Okay, His long-suffering toward us, very patient God, and I thank Him for that. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, not all will come to repentance, but that's God's perfect will. In His permissive will, because He's given us free will, not everybody's going to come to repentance. But that's not, that does, God doesn't take any pleasure in that, as Ezekiel had said in the passage you read in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Wrath, further, is the outworking of God's divine attribute of justice. God is perfect in all of His attributes, and they are not mutually exclusive. Let me give you an illustration. So if you commit murder, and you go to the magistrate at the Superior Court in the state of Rhode Island, it is incumbent upon the judge, or if it's a jury trial, the jury, to make a determination to sentence, to find guilty, and to sentence he or she who is found guilty to the punishment, which is that which is written in the law with regard to the crime, right? And the Lord says that the wages of sin is death. In other words, that's God's law. A violation of God's law results in separation from God. And if God didn't do what He said, if God said, well, all right, I'll let you in. You know, you really didn't, you know, your good was, you know, more than bad, or I feel like being nice today. So even though you didn't put faith in, you didn't put your faith in Jesus Christ, I'm just going to let you in anyway. No, God is not going to work that way, because whatever God says, God does. Now there may be a miscarriage of justice here on this earth, but God's not going to make any mistakes with His justice, and those who place their faith in Jesus Christ will find mercy because He was judged. Those who fail to do so, God's wrath simply abides on them. He simply allows that individual to experience the consequences of their own decision, to serve out their own sentence, as it were. Because God has stated already that this is the sentence, and certain folks, just because certain folks aren't in agreement with it, doesn't mean that the law's changed. You know, just because we don't like a particular law of the land, just because I don't like wearing my seatbelt, doesn't mean that if the the nice police officer here in the city of Woonsocket pulls me over and finds me not wearing a seatbelt, it doesn't mean that he's not going to fine me or that he shouldn't, right? So it's the same thing. How much more so with God? God is a just God, and God is also a God of truth. So whatever the Lord says, that is what shall come to pass. God's given a sample warning in this book, and if you're up to this point in this study, you know what it's all about. If you're at this point in your Christian life, that you're in depth in the Word of God like this. So let's stop playing games with trivialities with God, and really get that holy awe, that holy respect for the holiness of God. Revelation chapter 15 and verse 2. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. And those who had the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. So they're standing on the sea of glass. And it sounds familiar, right? Where did we see that before? Let's go to Revelation chapter 4 in verse 6. And this is a vision of the heavenly realm. Before the throne, this is the throne of God, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and back. And of course, we talked about how those living creatures and all of those eyes all around are indicative of the omniscience of God, that God is all-knowing and all-seeing. But here we have the sea of glass right before the throne of God. And here it is again, something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. And those who have the victory over the beast. So these are saved folks from the tribulation, who are tribulation martyrs. And they're there before the throne of God. This is their end. And this sea of glass is mingled with fire. Well, this is representative of God's judgment. And we saw this in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 10. He himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. And here it is. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the holy of the Lamb. So in Revelation 4, we have the corollary with God in his throne room. And right, God is present there. And the Lamb of God is present there. So this is the idea that the God is going to be present, because God is omnipresent, even in the judgment of unbelievers. So what is such a beautiful thing for those who have professed their faith, even died for their faith, is something really to fear for those who have opposed God. Those who have the victory, these are great second half tribulation saints. And here we have a vision that is forward looking in nature. We are taking a look at Revelation 13:18. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. And again, in 14, 6 and 7, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth. And he was saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And then verses 11 through 16 come into play. So here we have a reference to those who have the victory over his image and his mark and the number of his name. And this is something that is not instituted until the midpoint of the tribulation. It wasn't there in the first half of the tribulation, when we had the seal and the trumpet judgments. So in Revelation 15, this reference to those who have the victory over these things are those who live on the earth, who will live on the earth at a time where Satan worship, or beast worship, and dragon worship, and the scourge of 666 is actually being enforced. And that's not in the first half of the tribulation. It's in the second half of the tribulation. So again, with this chronology, we don't have to worry about something today being this, because this is something for a time yet future in the great tribulation. So Be not alarmed. The Lord will rapture his church before that.